Parsha today is Chaye Sarah, Abraham's wife Sarah, and right in the beginning of the Parsha, passes away at the age of 127. And she, Abraham, of course, is very brokenhearted, and he buys a place in Israel, which is where they're living in Israel. He buys a place in Hebron, the tomb of the patriarchs. In Hebrew, it's called Me'arat HaMachpelah, the tomb of the doubles. And he buys that for 400 pieces of silver from the local guy who owns it. His name is Ephron, the local guy. He buries Sarah. And after that, the rest of the Parsha really pretty much talks about how Abraham is now involved with trying to find a shidduch for his son Yitzchak. He sends his servant, whose name is Eliezer, back to the city that Abraham had come from before moving to Israel. And over there, they find Rivka, who is Abraham's great niece. And so Yitzchak basically marries his cousin, and they establish a new home. And there's the miracles that were in Sarah's tent. There were three miracles that the Torah talks about were repeated itself in Rivka's tent. They had stopped in the interim until Rivka came to the family. Those three miracles were that there was a cloud protecting the tent and from the heat and the sun. And also as a sign of glory, as a sign of honor, there was a cloud always, a nice fluffy cloud on top of the tent, sign of Hashem's presence. And when she would light the Shabbos candles on Friday, because even though there was no mitzvah yet to keep Shabbos, and there was no mitzvah yet to light Shabbos candles, but the Gemara teaches us, our sages teach us, that the patriarchs, the matriarchs, kept all of the mitzvahs that we keep today, because they knew prophetically that these mitzvahs are going to be given, so they would light the Shabbos candles too. And when she would light her Shabbos candles, the candles did not go out until the next Shabbos. Once Sarah passed away, the candles were regular candles. When Rivka came back into the came now into the family, the candles again had this miracle that it lasted for a whole week. And the third miracle was some extra special blessing in the challah that she made. So it doesn't say exactly what the blessing was. Maybe it was fresh a whole week. Maybe it was a huge quantity, even though she had a certain amount of dough. It doesn't say exactly what the blessing was, but there was something special in the challah. So those three mitzvahs, those three miracles, the tent, the candles, and the challah, were the signature, the hallmark of the righteous matriarchs, our righteous mothers, Sarah, Rivka, and I'm sure later on, Leah and Rachel and Leah. So, but let's talk about the very beginning of the Parsha. That's the storyline. The very beginning of the Parsha says that Sarah passes away, and she is then, of course, buried in the Tomb of the Patriarchs, that eventually became the Tomb of the Patriarchs. So there is a beautiful talk from the Rebbe on this idea of why does the Torah go through this whole seemingly long story. Many of the other great, great tzaddikim in the Chumash, they passed away. It's one half a sentence. They passed away and they were buried. Not by Sarah. By Sarah, there's a long story of a whole story about how she passed away, and Abraham came. Abraham was mourning her, and he bought this tent, and he bought the place, and a lengthy account. Even when Abraham passes away, Torah simply says later in this week's Parsha, he passed away and he was buried by his sons. That's all it says. So the Zohar says like this. Sarah is an allusion, a remez, an allusion to the body. And the body is made up, the physical reality is made up in the language of the Gemara, in the language of the Midrash. It's made up of four essential states. And the four essential states are called Eish, Mayim, Ruach, and Afar, fire, water, wind, and earth. And they're states of being. They're states of being. It doesn't mean actual fire, actual water, actual. It is liquid, the solid, there is the gas, and then there is the energy that binds everything together. And that's the fire, the energy. So essentially, everything can be broken down into its basic elements, and something that you can actually see and touch and feel has more solid to it. Something that is a gas obviously has more gas to it. And something that is like electricity is just plain energy itself. that need obviously it needs a medium, it needs something to flow through, but energy is energy. The body, while it's alive, is made up of all four. The malachim, the angels, the Gemara tells us, are made up of two, energy and spirit, energy and gas. And therefore, we can't see the angels, even though they take up space, because of course, gas takes up space, but you can't see gas unless you have a certain spiritual sensitivity and this and that. Gemara says animals can see, and little kids can see sometimes angels, because they're more spiritually sensitive. So anyway, going back to the Parsha, it says, Vatamas Sarah, Sarah, the body died. Bekiryas Arba, Kiryas Arba, literally the Torah gives the name of the city that she was living in, which was called the Kirya, the city of Arba of four. He Hebron, that was also known as the city of Hebron, Be'eretz Canaan, in the land of Canaan. So that's the very beginning of the Parsha. And the Zohar goes through each of these words and says, besides the literal meaning that there was a human being whose name was Sarah, who lived in the city of Kiryas Arba, which was also called Hebron, which is modern day Hebron, same city, and the land of Canaan, besides that literal meaning, there is also an allegoric, mystical meaning. Everything in the Torah is understood on many levels. So we should read this as follows. Vatamas Sarah, Sarah the body died. Bekiryas Arba, the city of four. What does it mean, the city of four? The body is made of these four essential elements. As we said, it's fire, wind, water, and earth. And that is what Chevron means. Chevron comes from the word chaver or chibur, which means connection. While the body is alive, these four elements are all connected. And therefore, the Zohar continues, Vayavo Avraham, Avraham came. Avraham is allegoric or a allusion to the neshama. Livkot l'sara, to mourn the body and to eulogize how wonderful it was to have an experience of being together for so many years and doing mitzvahs. That is a statement from the Zohar. So again, what does the Zohar say? The Zohar teaches us that at the beginning of the parsha, when we have this idea of Avraham mourning Sarah, it's not just Avraham mourning Sarah, it's every single Jew who is alive. When the person is alive, when that human being, when that Jew is alive, then this body and the soul have a chibur, have a connection. When the soul passes away and the soul leaves the body, the soul is obviously goes to paradise, to Gan Eden, because everybody is a tzaddik. You know, we all eventually end up in Gan Eden, paradise. But there is a period of time, at least, that the soul mourns the body, because the body was the vehicle, the mechanism, the medium that allowed the neshama to bring spirituality into the world. The Rebbe asks the following, that's from the Zohar. The Rebbe asks this following question on this statement of the Zohar. The Rebbe says, we have found in last week's parsha that when Avraham was unsure whether or not he should throw out his son Yishmael from the house, and the story in last week's parsha was that as Yitzchak was growing older, the Sarah notices that Ishmael, the son of Hagar, is a very terrible influence on him. That Ishmael is practicing idol worship. Ishmael is practicing all kinds of stuff that is not good. And she says to Abraham, "You must throw him out of the house." By that time, he was at least 16 years old, and his mother Hagar could have taken care of him also. Says you must send him off somewhere else. I will not have him, Ishmael, in the same house as my son Yitzchak, corrupting my son Yitzchak. Abraham, the Torah says, this is in the Chumash, was very torn. He didn't want to throw his beloved son. He loved both of his children. And Hashem, prophetically, he had a nevuah, a prophecy from Hashem, a conversation with Hashem, and Hashem told him, "Kol asher tomar lecha Sarah, whatever Sarah tells you, Shema bekola, you should listen to her, because she has a greater level of prophecy and understanding than you do. She sees things clearer than you do. You are a little bit involved with loving both of them, and that's wonderful, but Sarah sees the ultimate. Sarah sees the purpose. Sarah sees the result, and she is more practical in that sense, and also more correct in that sense. Hashem tells her, Hashem tells Abraham, and therefore, and Hashem goes on to say, "Ki be Yitzchak yikar lechazara." Yitzchak is going to be the one who really does, in fact, continue your lineage, continue your message of bringing the knowledge of Hashem to the world. And Yitzchak, therefore, is that should be the apple of your eye, should be the one that you are the more one more concerned about. And if you have to throw out one for the other, you throw out Yishmael and you take care of Yitzchak. That's what Hashem literally tells him in the Chumash. So the Rebbe asks the following question. If the Zohar teaches us now that Sarah means the body and Avraham means the soul, so how does this work in last week's parsha? Let's be consistent here. Why would Hashem tell Abraham, the soul, that Kol Asher Toma Lecha Sara, whatever the body tells you, you should listen? That doesn't seem to be following. If the soul is the neshama that we all know, then the soul sees things clearly. And the soul is always connected to Hashem. The neshama is connected to Hashem. And the body is the one that's involved with material things. And the body is the one that gets confused by the physical world. That's not what it says in last week's parsha. Last week's parsha is the opposite. It says Abraham, the neshama, has to now listen to Sarah, the body. So why would that be? So the Rebbe explains a beautiful concept based on a teaching of the Baal Shem Tov, that there really is not a struggle in reality between the physical world and the spiritual world. In reality, the Baal Shem Tov teaches the physical world has yet more energy from Hashem than the physical world, than the spiritual world. And this is what we're studying this in Tanya, on these levels of Mimale kol almin, sovev kol almin, the levels of energy that are according to the level where it is, level of energy that is the Hashem's infinite level of energy. It's an infinitely greater miracle, the Zohar teaches, and Chassidic masters explain. It's an infinitely greater miracle for Hashem to create a physical world, a finite world, a limited world, than the spiritual worlds. It's understandable that spiritual energy creates spiritual worlds. Hashem creates angels. This is understandable. But what do people have a problem? Even people have a problem with this. Where is God in this physical world? How could it be that Hashem creates a world with such confusion, so many bad things happening, etc., etc.? It's an infinitely greater miracle. It's an infinitely greater contraction of Hashem's energy to create the physical world, which means it takes more energy. It takes more effort. If you have to use, you have to contract something, if you have to manipulate something, it takes more energy, plain and simple. So therefore, the Baal Shem Tov teaches, and this comes from the Zohar, that the physical world and our physical bodies, in fact, have more energy, not less, more energy, which is why, parenthetically, when Mashiach comes, according to our belief, the bodies will come back to life, and the bodies will be the source from which the soul gets nourished. Not the other way, not the way it is today. Everybody understands today that a body is living only because it has a neshama. So what makes the body live? The food that we eat? No, you could eat all day long. If your neshama decides to leave, you're not eating anything else anymore. That's it. Your neshama is your electricity, your spark, the thing that powers the body. That's the way it works today. When Mashiach comes, the advantage of the energy that's in the body is going to be revealed. The power of Hashem's energy will no longer be concealed. In the language of the prophets, your master will no longer be concealed. You will be able to see Hashem's energy in the way it works in the material physical world. And then the soul will become nourished from the body. And this is ultimately what Rebbe explains is our job. Our job in this world, and that's the purpose of doing mitzvahs in general, and that's the reason Hashem puts us into all these situations that seem to be so challenging and so difficult, because Hashem is giving us opportunities to uncover the reality. It's one big scavenger hunt this whole entire lifetime. It's one big opportunity to uncover the truth of the world. The truth of the world is that the energy of Hashem is yet more powerful in the physical world. And Hashem therefore takes the neshama away from the spiritual, away from being in Gan Eden in paradise, where it is with all of the other souls, and puts it into this confusing situation called a physical world and all kinds of trials, tribulations, and tsaris, and all kinds of stuff. Even if a person has a perfect, beautiful life, we're still We don't sense the spirituality as much. We don't sense the, even with no trouble, even going through life with absolutely no issues. You could be born into a religious family that's very wealthy, and you don't living in a neighbor with no anti-Semitism. You're living, let's say, in, I don't know. Just imagine to yourself the most perfect, it doesn't matter. Even in such a case, you're still disconnected from the way the neshama was in Gan Eden, in paradise, let alone we understand that going through life, there's lots of problems, lots of troubles, lots of issues. And so why does Hashem give us all these issues? Because they all are opportunities for us to uncover. And with that, I will segue to the story that's happening now in Israel. The Jewish people in Israel, we're not just in Israel in order to take care of ourselves. We're not just in Israel in order to be in Gan Eden in paradise. We're in Israel to create energy for the entire world. And Hashem is not happy if we as the Jewish people are not being proactive. And Hashem therefore gives us opportunities to push back. And as soon as we do push back, then Hashem creates miracles, and Hashem says, okay, you got the message. That's it. There's no more need for me to give you any kind of keep you in the race. You already won the race, and that's the coming of Mashiach. So all of these things that we go through is intended to create this energy. It is intended to for us to understand that the reality of the material world, which can be encapsulated in the word body, the reality of the Sara, the reality of the physicality that the neshama is in the body, and that's the truth of us being in the world in general, that reality is Hashem. There's no such thing as a world that can conceal, that can cover up Hashem's presence and our mission unless we let it. If we don't let it happen and we recognize the truth, there's nothing that can cover up. In the language of the previous Lubavitcher Rebbe, there is no power in the world that can cover up a Jewish soul's connection to Hashem. You can become confused if you allow yourself to be confused, but there is no outside power. We can only do it to ourselves. There's no outside power that can stop or even cover up our connection to our spiritual energy. And that's really what this parsha is all about. In the language of, again, the Zohar, the Chevron, which comes from the Hebrew word chibur, the attachment, connection, the concept that there is no such thing as a struggle between the material and the spiritual. The material is Hashem's presence, and it's just there for us to create yet greater spirituality. So that is the lesson. And therefore, this portion is not called the death of Sarah, which you would think, if the whole parsha opens up with the story, that's how it opens up. Sarah passes away. Abraham is looking for a place to bury her. So what should the name of the parsha be? It should be that Sarah passes away. Vatamas Sarah, the death of Sarah. That's what it says in the Chumash. Those are words from the Chumash. Vatamas Sarah, Sarah dies. That's not what the parsha is called. It's called Chaye Sarah, the life of Sarah. Now again, we have translated, and this is what the Zohar says, that Sarah means the body. So Chaye Sarah, literally, according to the Zohar, and according to this level of allegoric allusion to the concept of mystic, using the words not as in the literal, but in what their mystical meaning means, Chaye Sarah means the life of the body. Again, expanding that word body to mean not just body, but to mean everything material in the world. And Chaye, the life, to expanding that word to mean not just the physical, literal life, but the energy, the power, what creates and what maintains. So literally, according to the Zohar, the name of this week's Parsha is not Chaye Sarah, the life of Sarah, but it is Hashem's energy that powers the entirety of the universe. Hashem's energy that powers the entirety of creation. So this week's parsha really teaches us this incredible concept, this beautiful and wonderful, something that we have to always keep in front of our eyes, that we are never disconnected. It is Hashem's energy that is creating, Hashem's energy that's maintaining, Hashem's energy that is making every situation, whether it appears to be positive or appears, unfortunately, to be negative for the moment. It is Hashem's energy. And the message and the lesson, therefore, is that when we recognize and realize that we essentially are put into the situation where it was Hashem's energy, so everything that we do, therefore, has to be with that thought in mind. We have to use our resources in the most perfect way, the best way. We have to recognize that everything we do, we get points for it. Everything we do, we're interacting with the physical world. We're doing mitzvahs. The smallest thing, we think that we're not doing a mitzvah. We think that a mitzvah means, you know, actually davening. Yes, that's a mitzvah. A mitzvah means actually, I don't know, helping somebody cross the street. Yes, that's a mitzvah. Keeping Shabbos kosher. Yes, they're mitzvahs. But according to this, every single thing that we do, waking up in the morning, going to sleep at night, eating breakfast, eating supper, going around the corner, turning three times on, you know, whatever you do, every single one of those things is therefore essentially a mitzvah, because the word mitzvah means connection to Hashem. And if Hashem is energy, is creating and maintaining the whole world, anything we interact with, therefore, is an interaction with Hashem's energy, with Hashem. And therefore, if we do it for the right reasons, and this, of course, is another major and basic fundamental teaching of the Baal Shem Tov, everything that we do is elevating, and is connecting to Hashem's energy. And there's a beautiful song. I think it's a Breslov song, actually, or somebody. I think it's a Breslov song, and the song is: "Everywhere I go, wherever I turn, any step I take, I'm going to Jerusalem." That's the song. It's a very nice, catchy tune. Every step I take, anywhere I turn, I'm going to Jerusalem. I'm walking in my backyard here in New Jersey. No, but I'm going to Jerusalem. That means, what's my goal? Where am I headed? What is my direction? I'm going to Jerusalem. This is all the same concept. Everything that we do is for the purpose of connection. Everything that we do is for the purpose of elevation, the purpose of making a better space for ourselves, for our family, for our friends, making a stronger and a more evident, a more clear connection to our neshamas, which really is Hashem's energy. And that is the message of this week's parsha. So I wish you a good Shabbos. We should have the seichel to use our energies in the right way. We should have the koyach, the energy, to be able to do what our seichel tells us to do, because sometimes you want to do something, but you don't have the energy for it. So we should have the right understanding, the right seichel, the right koyach, the right energy, and we should be able to see Mashiach right away, because that's what Hashem wants. Ultimately, Hashem does not want this whole story of a physical world that's covering up. Hashem wants Mashiach, except for some funny reason that we cannot understand. He still wants us to do something. And we turn to Hashem, we say, Hashem, Ginug Shein, enough, we did. What do you want from us? We have accomplished, we've done. Time to turn the lights on. Time to bring this whole charade to an end. So we are therefore hoping to go into Shabbos, hearing big miracles, Mirtz Hashem. And of course, we are praying for the safety, for the security, for the return of all the hostages, for the safety and security of our soldiers. We are praying for the refuah, for the healing, all those people who, unfortunately, many, many people who are wounded and still needs a big refuah shlema, so Hashem can make all these miracles happen, and we will experience them.